Awesome. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. And I'm going to read from James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So last week, Pastor Noah preached from James chapter 3 regarding the tongue. And before that, I preached from the back end of James chapter 2, talking about faith that works. But now I want to jump back a little bit further, back to James chapter 1, verse 27. James 1, 27. I'm going to read from verse 27 through to chapter 2, verse 9. And it says this: "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool.' Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and convicted by the law as transgressors." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I just ask and pray, Lord God, that you help us to be kingdom people, truly representative of you, Lord God. I thank you and praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that have been coming the last few weeks, you would know that we've been doing a series on the book of James, and we're calling it Life Lessons. Now, James is interesting. James is probably the most simple, practical letter in the entire New Testament. It's written by James, who's actually the brother of Jesus, not James and John, but actually James, the brother of Jesus. And he was the founder and leader of the early church in Jerusalem. And that early church was initially comprised of people who grew up in the Jewish faith. So they were Jewish converts who converted to Christianity. And so that is primarily his sphere of influence. We know that he probably wrote this letter to those types of people, because it says in James chapter 1, verse 1, that he is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad amongst the nations. And so that is another reference to the fact that these are people who actually grew up as Jews. Now, if these are the people that he's writing to, then they're probably people who've memorized much of the Old Testament. They're people who would have studied and known their word. Yet it's interesting to me that these are the people that he writes actually the most practical letter in the New Testament. You would think that if he's writing to people who are so well-versed in God's word, that he would write something really, really super complex, really something that really got their juices flowing intellectually, that really stimulated them. But that's not actually what he wrote to them. He wrote to them the most simple letter in the New Testament. Why do you think that is? Well, I think it's because no matter how much you know or how long you've been walking with the Lord, living it out is another story. That actually there are challenges that all of us face. There are challenges that every single one of us experience, that living the Christian life is different from just actually knowing about it. And so that's why this series is called Life Lessons, because there's a number of practical applications that we can actually apply to our lives, no matter how mature you are, no matter how long we've been in the Lord. Sometimes we have to be reminded about what it actually means to live the Christian life. And so today I want to talk to you about one of these topics. And the topic I want to talk to you is actually about the topic of favoritism. That literally that these people have allowed the kingdom of the world to come into the local church, and values of the world has actually come into it. That's why he says in James chapter 1, verse 27, he says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in the trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So he's writing to mature people and he's saying to them, we need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And then you realise as you go through the letter of James, he's actually telling them, hey guys, you've actually allowed yourselves to be spotted from the world. You've actually allowed the values of the world to actually come into the local church, and that's not how it's supposed to be. The local church is an embassy of the kingdom of God. And so what that means is everything that happens out there doesn't necessarily happen in here. That we are actually different from the world. We are supposed to be culturally relevant. We're supposed to reach the world. But make no mistake, the values of the world are not supposed to infect us. That we are an embassy of the kingdom of God. And one of the ways that he is saying that they've allowed themselves to be spotted by the world is the way that they actually treat people. That the way they treated people in these churches that he's writing to was the way people were actually treated out there in the world. And he's saying that is not how it's supposed to be. And he's actually talking about favoritism. The people, when they came in, they were treated according to their social status. But who knows that in Christ, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's why the Bible says, let the poor say, I am rich. The Bible says the gospel is good news to the poor. That no matter how you were treated out there, no matter what your station of life is, when you come into this place, it's actually different. The way people are treated out there is not the way that they should be treated in the house of God. And he is saying that the people are treated the same way in the churches that he's writing to. And he's talking about the issue of favoritism. And so to counter that, to be like the antidote to that, he gives them a number of different behaviours that are truly representative of the kingdom of God. And so today I just want to basically talk to you about three ways that we're supposed to treat people. Three ways that he actually tells us here is that different from the world, how we are actually supposed to treat every single person that comes into this place. Whether you be rich, whether you be poor, whether you be in a family, whether you be in single, whether you got challenges or whether you don't. The reality is that we are supposed to treat people differently from the way that the world does. And so I want to talk to you about the three ways that we're supposed to treat people as outlined in this passage of scripture. The first way that we're supposed to treat people is with equality. James chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of God, with partiality. Partiality is the opposite of equality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? We should be impartial with everybody. We should treat everybody equally. Now, the word equality has been hijacked by the world. And the word equality in the world basically says that everyone should be the same. But that's not actually what this is saying. This is actually saying that when people come here, we should treat people the same. And that's what true equality is. It's not about turning you into something that you're actually not, or turning you into something that God did not intend. That's not what true equality is. True equality is the way that we actually treat people. That's what it's actually saying. People say to me, Ben, what kind of church is King's? You know, is it like a white people church? Is it a middle class church? You know, is it an older people church? You got two Tongan pastors. Is it an Islander church? You know, what is it? You know, what kind of people, what kind of people are you reaching? I said, well, people. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Whatever your nationality, whatever your background, whatever your upbringing, you know what? You don't even have to be a graduate of our school to come here either. It doesn't matter. We're just for people in this place, amen? God wants us to treat everybody the same. That's why I love it. We have people here of different socioeconomic backgrounds sitting next to people that are completely different, but that's how it should be in the kingdom of God, amen? That is how we're supposed to treat people. We are supposed to treat people with equality. And what happens out there is not how things are supposed to be done in here. There's a church that I know that a number of years ago that tried to reach the business community. And so what they tried to do was, in order to reach the business community, they thought, well, what's their lifestyle like? What are they used to, you know? And, you know, they're used to like Qantas clubs and, Virgin lounges and that sort of thing. And so what they did at their church was, on the Sunday, they created a cordoned off area called a business lounge at their church. And I think you had to hit a certain level of socioeconomic status to actually enter that, you know? And so you could come in here, it's a business lounge, and that's for you. And it kind of didn't work. And the reason why it didn't work is because, for a number of reasons, kind of disenfranchised a lot of people in your church as well and that sort of thing. But also one of the reasons why I didn't think it worked is because I don't think it's kingdom. We put down our titles at the door and we come in and we fellowship and we all worship the Lord. Amen? That's how it's supposed to be. Doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your upbringing. It doesn't matter your heritage. It doesn't matter some of the challenges you've been in life. You are welcome in your Father's house. Amen? You know, if you have family gatherings, I love it. You know, I've got extended family. And when I catch up with my extended family, you know, all the titles are gone. It's only sometimes years later that I find out how successful some of my extended family are. It's only later that I realise some of the things that they do. But when we're together, it's nothing like that. We're not sitting around talking around how good we are or getting our business cards out because we're family. And regardless of what they're doing, some are going through some good times, some of them are going through some great success, some people are going through some tough times, it doesn't actually matter because when you come together as family, you are family, you put those things aside. In the kingdom of God, we have the same heavenly Father and we are all family. And so when we come into this place, we treat all people with equality. We treat all people actually the same. That's why sometimes, you know, I don't know what people do and I don't know always where they come from, and to be honest, it doesn't really matter to me, because what really matters to me is the fact that we've all got the same Heavenly Father, and we treat all people equally, and we treat all people with the same amount of respect and love. Amen? That is what true kingdom is supposed to be, that no matter what you're like out there, that when you come into this place, that's why I think if anyone comes to our church trying to throw their weight around about all the success, they're not going to get very far with me. Amen. I'm not impressed with that stuff, I'll be honest with you, right? Because that's not what this is about. This is about all of us, we are family. Amen. And we treat all people equally. And that's what we're supposed to do. The next thing that it says how we're supposed to treat people says in James chapter 2, verse 6, he says, but you have dishonored the poor man. You've dishonored the poor man. So what that means is that the way we're supposed to treat people is actually with honor. With honour. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, written to an entire church. Apostle Paul says, honour one another above yourselves. So he's actually speaking to the whole church and he's saying to every single one of us, honour one another. Every single one of us honour each other. Now, how do we honour? Well, the scripture's pretty clear that honour basically means respect and it means recognition. That we treat everybody actually with respect. And I think that's one of the great actual keys to actually reaching people. Because there's a lot of people that in the certain stations of life or in what they're doing, that they actually don't receive any respect in what they're doing. But they can come to the house of God and regardless of who they are and what they do, every single person can receive a measure of respect and can be honoured. Every single one of us actually thrives on honour, on being honoured. That's why the command there is to honour one another above yourselves. That's why probably one of the keys to being kingdom is we have to get rid of that whole Aussie notion of pulling people down. You know, our Australian culture is awesome and there's so many godly things about it, but I think some of our dishonour is actually not of the kingdom. That when people come to this place, we actually need to lift them up. When people come to this place, we need to actually be people of honour. Now, this was a difficult thing for me because I grew up in a very Aussie sporting culture. So I played, you know, a lot of sport from the age of 8 or 9 and that sort of thing. And the sport, one of the sports I really loved was actually cricket. And so I remember, you're just taught from an early age to sledge. It's just like what you do. I remember being 9 years of age, sledging my opponents. I remember one time Mum and Dad actually picked me up from cricket and told me off when I got in the car because they could hear me, I was fielding, they could hear me sledging the batsman whilst I was fielding. And that's just kind of the culture I grew up in. That's the Aussie culture. You know what I mean? We think equality is actually pulling everyone down. It's not, it's lifting everyone up. And so that took me a long time to change. So instead of putting people down all the time, I had to learn to try and build up with my words. But that's actually part of the kingdom of God. I told you a few weeks ago that, I did a job when I was itinerant. I did some fill-in work doing delivery driving. And it really gave me a great empathy for people in those jobs, you know, and so, and you see them, you know, they come to a shop, they come in and out, And I realized, man, they've got a tight schedule. You know, they've got to be across everything, and doesn't take much for them to knock them off their schedule. But one of the things I wasn't used to, and I realized I had a bit of a sheltered upbringing, but one of the things I wasn't used to was the way people would treat me when I would come and deliver to them. And I would come and I'd deliver them. They kind of would acknowledge me. You know, they kind of might tell me off, or that's what they'd speak, might speak harshly to me. And I wasn't actually, to be honest, I actually wasn't used to that. And I realized there are many people, now all work is honorable. All work, all employment is all, society needs all of it. But who knows that there are some occupations that people don't receive a level of honor and respect. So where are they going to get it? From us. There's a lot of people that have enough people telling them off and putting them down all the time. When they come here, we don't need to be bashing people around. We need to be lifting them up, treating everybody with honour and respect. I want it to be that when, you know, oh, do you want the kind of church where people all just leave and feel good? Yes, I do. I don't want the kind of church where people just keep getting banged on the head all the time. They get that out in the world. He's a lifter of my head. He says here that we're supposed to honour one another. We want people to have the strength and the joy they need to leave this place. They might have come here empty, but when they go, they are filled and fueled to be the victorious Christians that God's called them to be. And one of the ways we do that is not just continually bashing them, but lifting and honouring and respecting. You know, when you honour people, it means you don't always focus on the bad they are. It means we start focusing on the good. Everybody is very self-aware of our areas of failure. And the devil is very good at condemnation, forever reminding us of our failings. Where do we need to go to be reminded of the goodness of God? Where do we need to go to be reminded that God loves us, that God actually wants us to be honoured? It's actually in the house of God, amen? And when people come into this place, regardless of how they're treated out there, regardless of what is going on in their life, when they come to the house of God, it needs to be a place where they are lifted and a place where they are honoured. That's why I love our church, because you all hang around, you all love eating. That's why we've got putting Tongan pastors in here, because, you know, we just feel there's a real good cultural fit. And you can hang around and you can just chat and you can talk and you can have the rich man sitting next to the poor man, and neither of them even know that each one is one of those things. And we can talk and we can lift up and we can encourage, not just from the pulpit, but by interaction with you. My dream and my desire, and I see it coming to pass more and more, is that when people interact with the king's person, they're talking to the most positive life speaking people on the entire Gold Coast, where that when they bump into you, they walk away feeling that they've been lifted, that they've been encouraged, that they've been strengthened, that they've been honoured and empowered to live the Christian life that God has for them. Amen? That's good preaching. Amen. If I say so myself. Sometimes you just got to honour yourself. No, actually, that's not true. The scripture says you're not to honour yourself. So, yeah, so I need you to do it. Okay. You know, I read this story about a guy named Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo, famous preacher and sociologist, and he was preaching away and was staying in a particular hotel for a week, and we go down into the restaurant to have dinner, and he noticed that the restaurant, there was a group of ladies there that were there at the same time every night, and found out that they were working girls and prostitutes, and found out that one of them was having a birthday the next day. So he talked to the other girls and said, listen, let's throw her a party. Let's get her a cake. So he came the next day and he brought a cake. He brought some presents, brought some decorations, and they threw that girl a birthday party. It completely broke her. She'd never had a birthday party in her life. Always used, always downtrodden, always considered less than. But someone from the kingdom had to come and just honour him. Didn't say, hey, listen, if you stop doing what you're doing, then I'll throw you a party. Yeah. Honoured in spite. And because of that, it was a touching moment, a life-changing moment for that person. Kingdom people honour one another. Lift up. Doesn't matter how you're treated out there. When you come here, you're not treated like that. When you come here, we lift you up. We encourage and we honour. Amen? And that's true kingdom. Yeah. The next way that we're supposed to honour. It says in James chapter 2, verse 8, it says, if you really fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbour as yourself, you do well. So he's saying right there how we're supposed to treat people. The third way is we're supposed to treat them with love. We're supposed to treat them with love. So when they come into this place and they can interact with kingdom people, we want people to go away not feeling downtrodden. We want people to walk away feeling the love of their Heavenly Father, amen? Because we are his representatives. That's who we are. We want people to experience the love of God. When I was a youth pastor, we used to run a lunchtime program in schools, and the whole objective was basically, it was just basically an infomercial. There was no discipleship. It was an infomercial for our youth group. We're basically just trying to get kids from the school into our youth ministry. And I remember one particular school that we were in, you know, we would go in there every week, and there was a particular young girl, she was in year 9, that would go there every single week. She wouldn't miss it. And I would occasionally catch up with the chaplain and I would say to him, you know, is there any kids here that are coming here that are interested in coming to our youth group? And he would tell me and fill me in on where they're at. And I remember, you know, this group was not very spiritual at all, you know, like we'd basically, and it was good. It was in the days before risk assessments and workplace health and safety. And so we just bribed kids to come to it, to be honest. We would just bring big boxes of chocolate, even ones with nuts in it. This was back in 2000, okay? Praise God. And so we would do that and they would come and we would have, you know, we'd just do games the whole time. We would, you know, we'd just, you know, give away prizes, which is just like food. And we would just do an infomercial about our youth group and I'd do a 2-minute God talk, basically to get them used to hearing about God when they came to our youth ministry. And so I was talking to the chaplain one day at this particular school and I was talking about this particular young girl and I said, and she came to the lunchtime program. The lunchtime program was called Inferno. She came to the lunchtime program every week, didn't miss. And I said to him, I said, hey, listen, do you think she's going to want to come to our youth group? She comes to Inferno every week. Do you think she wants to come to youth? And he said to me, no, she can't. Her parents won't let her. I said, oh. And he said, yeah, no, her parents have forbidden her to come to youth. They are dead set against it. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, but she said to me, she will never miss the lunchtime group. And I said, oh, awesome. And I thought, oh, because, you know, we give away free food, we have games, you know. I said, why is it that she likes coming to our lunchtime group? Is it our program? And he goes, no, no, no. She said it's the only place in her world where she feels loved. Now, you've got to understand, this is ministering in a state school. Male youth pastor is not going in there physically hugging students and telling him he loves them. So that's nothing inappropriate happening. Why is she feeling that way? Because she's getting in contact with kingdom people. And we're lifting her up. And we're encouraging everybody. And she goes, and so one place in her whole, that half an hour once a week was the only place where she actually felt love. And that's actually kingdom. When they come to the house of God, we don't want people feeling condemnation. People already feel bad enough as it is. We want people to know that they've got a Heavenly Father that loves them. And the best way for that to be expressed is actually through us as well. Amen? The true kingdom is actually, no matter who you are, we treat everybody equally with honour and with love. Now, the scripture is actually pretty clear too that love is not just the way we love people, also includes practical assistance. And so the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, John says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So he's actually saying, if we truly love people, it's more than just words. We actually have to love them with deeds as well, meet their practical needs. That's why our community care arm is so important. Because if we want our congregations to actually model that, then as a church, we need to be willing to do what we're requiring our congregation to do as well. You heard me mention here a couple of weeks ago that due to some financial challenges and that sort of thing, that I'd like to consider the future of our community care arm. And in thinking about it and praying about it deeply, I thought, you know what? We have to. We're Christian. We're kingdom. That means we have to have a facility to actually meet the practical needs of our community. And not just put on things that make people better, but to actually meet them where they're at. Because that's who we are. Some of you are saying, man, with my station in life right now, I can't physically get out and do as much of that sort of thing as I would like. But the awesome thing is that if you partner with us as a community care arm, you're actually participating in that as well. The Bible says if you give a, you know, if you honour a prophet, give him a cup of water, you'll actually receive a prophet's reward. You partner in what they're doing. And maybe you're right here in your stage and phase of life and saying, man, my ability to meet the practical needs of our community is actually quite limited. But that's why we have King's Community Care. Because if you're unable to physically do it all by yourself, we can partner with this ministry and be an example of God's love, grace and favour to this community. Amen? Because God has commanded us to actually love people. And if we actually look at the context of the scripture in James, he's actually telling us very specifically, we're supposed to love the poor. I got convicted a number of years ago and I looked at, you know, in my budgeting, and I would give away a certain percentage of my income every year. But then I really got convicted about it because I realised that of the percentage I gave and that part of, I wasn't actually giving anything at all to actually meeting the needs of the poor. And God really spoke to me. He says, Ben, you know, it's good to partner with these ministries and it's important that you bring your tithe to the house of God. But beyond all of that, he said, you're supposed to meet the needs of the poor. And so that was the time we started upping our giving to some ministries that are actually meeting the needs of the poor. And that's why we partner with King's Community Care as well, because that's one of the ways that we can practically do that. Amen. The values out there are not supposed to come in here. The values out there are not, we are an embassy. It's different in here. We're culturally connected and we're culturally relevant, but our values are different. Why? Because we represent the kingdom. And he is speaking to these people, these mature people, and he's saying to them, you got to keep yourself unspotted from the world. He is saying that in all their learning, in all their educating, in all their maturity, they've inadvertently allowed values of the world to come in. And he says, you've got to unspot yourself. I told you a few weeks ago about the story about Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He came and sat them down and was going to wash their feet. And so as he went around washing their feet, they were very uncomfortable because that's the job of a servant. And he came and he did that. And when he went down to Peter, Peter said what everyone else was thinking. He says, Lord, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you've got no part with me. And then Peter said, okay, Lord, well, wash my whole body as well. And Jesus said, ooh. He said, one thing you lack. He says, he who's had a bath is already clean, but you just need your feet washed. Prophetically speaking, all of us through Christ are clean, but we're still walking through a dirty world. And occasionally we can inadvertently find ourselves like this church, spotted up by the things we're walking through, spotted up by the world. And occasionally he will get us to sit down and say, let me wash that off you. And if we have spiritual pride or a spiritual religion, we'll say, no, you're not. Lord, you're not doing that. He says, if you don't let me do that, you got no part with me. He knows that we're still walking through a dirty world, and occasionally we can allow it to affect us. But he is so good and he is so powerful. He can wash all that away. Amen? And so today we're going to do something super different. We're actually going to do a little bit of a, ceremony is the wrong word, but an activity, you know. And in just a moment, the guys are going to come out and we're actually going to wash our hands as a symbolic act, saying we're unspotting ourselves from the world. And so what we're going to do in just a moment, there'll be basins up here and there'll be towels. And you just dip your hands in the basin, dry your hand on the towel. And then my wife insisted we have hand sanitizer. And so we have hand sanitizer that you can actually do, put on your hands. And so what we're going to do is we're going to encourage you to line up down the middle and then fan out once these bowls are out and come across and do that and go back to your seat. Now, for those of you that are platinum frequent flyers, we don't have a special line for you where you can come to the head of the line and watch everyone else. You're going to line up like everyone else wherever it lines up, amen? For those of you that aren't used to flying on aeroplanes, there's a line for you anyway. It doesn't matter. We're all saying, Lord, help keep us unspotted from the world, amen? But before we do that,